Hi, this is Patrick Johnson. I am really looking forward to the show today, but first, a word from our attorneys.
The information provided in this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we don't guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but are limited to the dissemination of general information and may not be suitable for all members of the listening audience. Listening to this program should not be considered an engagement with SRS Capital Advisors, Inc. or Wealth Partner. Wealth Partner is a division of SRS Capital Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor whose principal office is located in Colorado. Patrick Johnson is an investment advisor representative of SRS Capital Advisors. Being a registered investment advisor or describing ourselves as being registered does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, where we believe financial wealth is one part of overall well-being. Wealth is a rainbow, and money is one of the colors. Now, here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
All right, welcome to another episode of Healthy, Wealthy, Wise. This is Patrick Johnson, and I'm joined in the studio today by Roger Severson. And when Roger met me at the door and we were talking through the show, he was asking, you know, what do you want to talk about today? And I'm coming straight in from a series of appointments this morning that just reminded me that there is an often misunderstood category of investment that I want to provide some clarity around. As everybody knows, one of our goals with this show is to submit something of practical, tangible value and one of the dimensions of listeners' well-being so that they can live wealthier lives as we qualify that at Wealth Partner. And the financial piece is a critically important piece, not because the tools themselves or the dollar amounts or the percentages are even that important, but it's because it's how we're stewarding our stored life energy when it comes to investments. And there's one, and there couldn't be a more important thing there. So that is a critical part of well-being. And today's topic is going to be the topic of annuities. And Roger's eyes kind of lit up and he said, oh, I'm actually eager to hear. So yeah. Roger can create a little bit of stoke here for a moment around the topic, but then I'm going to dive into more of a 101 around annuities.
I think it's a great idea. And I'll tell you, I think a lot of us decided to invest in annuities, not really knowing what we were doing, but because we were having a knee-jerk reaction in the late 2000s to losing so much money out of our investments that somebody came along, oh, this is safe, you'll never lose money, and oh, that sounds great to me. And so I think we all jumped into it without really knowing what's going on. So I'm going to be fascinated to hear a little more detail on this now, because you know, I think with the financial uncertainty going on right now, people are looking at it again.
Thank you. That actually tees it up perfectly because that's in my notes here. And that's one of the things that I wanted to lead with is between the appointments that I had where there was real lack of clarity around the structure that these clients owned or a series of clients actually that are new to me, but were still working with the old structures they had just in a slow unwind process. And it just struck me, people really need to have clarity around what these things are. And then two, what you'll see over the next few months with all the volatility and uncertainty is there's going to be an increase in dinner seminars, you know, and there's going to be ads and there's going to be all this stuff going on because debt ceiling limits and things heating up geopolitically and earnings are not as robust as we've seen. Interest rate environment, it's headline after headline that is disruptive to our souls. And you're right, back in 08, there was a knee-jerk reaction. Fear and greed sell. And salespeople know that fear sells better than greed. And you can marry the fear sale with the greed sale with annuities very easily. And so they're sold very often as if the annuity is the hammer, so every financial problem out there is a nail. And so with the annuity being the solution to everything, a lot of people just trust the advisor and say, well, yeah, that makes sense. Other people are doing it. This has got to be a good structure. Look at these hypothetical back-tested returns. And there's just more to it. And then other people will log online and they'll do a Google search, are annuities bad? And it just says, yes, they're terrible. Don't. And that's being promoted by a fee-only advisor that can't sell them. So, and then there's other, you know, various opinions in between, and nobody really knows just what these things are, how they work, and I'll just lay it out there. I'm agnostic when it comes to product or structure. It's just if it's working for the client. So sometimes annuities work. I've used my fair share of them, and sometimes they just don't. But it's good for people to know broad brush categorically what they are, and then we'll get into a little bit more granular detail.
That's a product-based item, if I remember right, from our
commission-based, previous
commission-based, yeah.
So a fee-only advisor can't use commission products, so they'll say annuities are terrible and stay away from those awful things. We just take fees. But what if an annuity makes sense for a client? Well, then they're kind of stuck being able to give good fiduciary counsel. The commission-only salesperson, which is what I was seeing this morning, these actually were folks who had been sold hard by a property and casualty agent and Medicare salesperson, but had gotten outside of their lane and stepped into investment counsel, sold the annuity, but they could not manage money for a fee. And so they were only going to focus on the insurance products. And so you got to just always look back at what's the kind of counsel you're getting. So I don't want to get down that rabbit trail because we did a whole show on it. Yeah. And listeners can go back and listen. But I know I'm talking fast because we've got a lot of information to cover, but I'm going to dive into broad structure here. So annuity, you have three distinctly different types. In the first category, you have fixed. So think along the lines of CD. So you have a duration and a rate. You will buy the contract from the carrier for a set amount of time, and the longer duration you have, the better rate you're going to get. So that's pretty straightforward. It's fixed. It's a guaranteed contract from an insurance company that you will not only not lose what you put in, but you will get a stated rate of return. You can go out there and get a brokered annuity on a 3 to 5, 7 year chassis paying, 3, 5, 6 percent. And so better than a poke in the eye, but in line with bonds and pretty straightforward. You know, those can be solid contracts depending on need. The other end of the spectrum is what's called a variable annuity. Now, a variable annuity is like they're called sub accounts, but it's a package of mutual funds that are wrapped in an insurance wrapper so that the insurance company, because it's an insurance product, it's tax deferred growth. And we'll get into taxation on annuities in a minute, but you get tax deferred growth. So if you have non-qualified money, money that's not in an IRA, the pitch is, hey, let's put it in this variable annuity, get tax deferred growth inside these sub accounts. But by the time, in my opinion, that you add the cost of the sub account fees, plus the M&E expense of the insurance company, and plus some rider expenses, which most variable annuities sold have riders. And we'll get into income riders in a little bit, because you can bolt an income rider onto different structures of annuities. So the base chassis might be a variable annuity with some sub-accounts of basically an expensive mutual fund portfolio, which you really need to run the tax forecasting around in order to see what your net rate of return is going to be to make sure that using it for tax deferral makes sense. Again, they're often sold with income riders. Okay. To reiterate those two concepts, fixed on one side, variable on the other. Fixed, you cannot lose and you earn a stated rate of return. Variable, you can lose because it's just in the markets with sub accounts or think mutual funds, and you get some tax deferral, but they're often sold. I forget the percentage. I don't want to say it on the air, but it's a very high percentage of variable annuities sold have the income rider. So the pitch is along the lines of you get the return of the market, net of fees, of course, but that's not usually mentioned, but return of the market or a stated rate of return like 7%, whichever is greater. That 7% guarantee is actually specific to a rider that's bolted on, but we'll get to the riders in isolation here in a bit. But broad base structure-wise, fixed, variable, and then in the center, you have what's called a fixed indexed annuity. So it is fixed because you cannot lose what you put in. You can't lose any interest that you earn, but they're not going to guarantee you a certain rate of return. So you're benchmarked to an index, fixed indexed annuity. So this thing lives in the middle between fixed and variable annuities. They are often sold as equity alternatives. Whoever's selling it that way is lying or they're delusional. I mean, they're not equity alternatives. They're not designed to be. The insurance companies will be the first to tell you that. They are bond and CD alternatives. So they're sold with equity-like returns. Like when I use a fixed indexed annuity or when I'm talking about it, I don't use the sales software that the carriers provide because these things illustrate at 7 to 9%. That's not how they're going to perform in reality in most cases, those back tested returns are always, you know, optimized, to say the least. So point is, though, that you can get into market exposure, but on a chassis that is guaranteed. So the fixed part, you won't lose what you put in or any interest that you earn. But then how do you earn interest? Because they're not guaranteeing that. You're indexed to either a clever index that's been created by the insurance company in conjunction with a big bank, or something as simple as the S&P. Let's not get into the former, because there are some good ones, some good indices offered by Morgan and Barclays and others. But more often than not, it's a lot of sizzle, not a whole lot of steak with those made-up indices. But let's take the S&P as a for example, because everybody understands it. So theoretically or hypothetically, well, not either. Actually, it is a good proxy for the domestic markets in the United States. So you will link to that via an options contract. Now, this is maybe more than listeners want to know, but what's happening is the insurance company, if you make a $500,000 deposit, well, let's just use 100 grand as a simple number. 100 grand goes into the contract, and that 100,000 is not put into the markets. It's put into the insurance company's general fund. The general fund is usually a very conservative, long duration bond portfolio, very, very solid. And you can rate its solidity based on the ratings of the insurance company, Fitch, Moody, S&P, AM Best. So the money goes there, and then they start peeling off some interest to pay the salaries and keep the lights on, et cetera. And then they'll have profitability, of course. And then they're going to peel off an option or a portion to buy options on the S&P. So depending on how expensive the options are and the rate environment of the time, they will tell you, you will get 100% of whatever the S&P does up to certain cap. Okay, so this is, now there are other flavors of these crediting strategies. I'm talking about one. And listeners, if any of you have any questions about your annuity or you just want some straight shooting about this stuff, come in and see us. We are experts in this. I used to run the life insurance general agency. I know these things inside and out, and we can give you, you know, all cards face up, quick analysis on this. But we're talking about one specific crediting strategy. That is a par cap rate. So this is the most, you know, pass the mom test kind of strategy. I think it does make sense because it's easy to understand, but it's on a one-year chassis. So start date is the date that the contract is funded. Nothing happens from start date to end date, but on end date, they look at the S&P 500 and see, is it up? Mm-hmm. Or down. If it's down, you don't make any money, you don't lose any money. If it's up, you get whatever it's up to the cap. The par rates and the cap rates can float. There are a lot of mechanics there, but then everything resets on an annual basis for either 5, 7, 14 years. So that is broad brush how these things work. We're closing in on our break here, so we're going to have to go to a commercial break, and then we'll come back with a little bit more about how commissions work, taxes work, income riders work. And maybe Roger and I will have a chance to chat a little bit more. So I know that was an earful. We'll be right back.
The Healthy, Wealthy, Wise Show is underwritten by Wealth Partner, a unique wealth management firm based in Colorado Springs. Wealth is a rainbow, and money is one of the colors. We believe prudent stewardship of one's financial life is critical to overall well-being, and this is where we begin our relationship with clients. Our highly personalized financial planning process is designed to reduce stress so clients can more fully enjoy all the dimensions of their true wealth. And to help clients thrive, we also offer powerful, cutting-edge, evidence-based health and well-being services. Wealth Partner is a rapidly growing company, which has evolved out of an award-winning fiduciary wealth management firm, currently managing well over $1 billion in client assets. And our offering is priced at a fraction of the cost of most firms. If this unique approach to wealth management interests you, please visit our website at www.wealthpartner.com. That's wealth spelled W-E-L-L-T-H, W-E-L-L-T-H partner.com.
Welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, Wise on KRDO News Radio. Here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
All right, we're back. And during the break, Roger and I were talking about the fact that there are so many different crediting methodologies in these fixed index contracts. And that's true. And again, come in and visit with us if you want us to take a look at what you have or what you're considering, because there is much more to this conversation, certainly. Hence all the uncertainty. You know, at the top of the show, we said The reason that we want to get into this is because there is a lack of clarity around this. So we're going to continue on with the conversation, but just by way of kind of capturing the broad scope here, lay of the land, we've got fixed annuities on one end of the spectrum. Can't risk what you put in or any interest that you earn. Duration and yield are set to variable, where it's just basically in the markets and it's going to go up and down with the allocation net of fees. And it you get tax deferral, but otherwise it could be argued that it's just an expensive mutual fund portfolio. In between the two sits fixed indexed, fixed because you can't lose what you put in or any interest that you earn, indexed because you are benchmarked to an index. In this case, we were talking about the S&P. There are a lot of other not only crediting methodologies, but the index to which those methodologies are applied. Gosh, there are so many things I could talk about with just crediting methodologies alone, but we're not going to go there right now. We're going to talk about how commissions work because there's a little confusion around this. So the higher the commission, often the less benefit to the client. Look, there's a reason why banks and insurance brokerages, as a general rule, have the biggest buildings in a downtown cityscape, right? There is a very real financial compensation component to this. For the insurance carriers, they want to sell as many of their structures as possible through a distributed brokerage network. And the way they incentivize brokers is to pay juicy commissions. And I'll give you a few warnings, listeners, about what to look for. I think personally a real sweet spot with annuities, if capital IF, they make sense for your broader structure, then you're probably going to find a good sweet spot in a 7-year duration. Often you don't get a whole lot more benefit for a longer duration, say a 10-year or a 14-year, but they do pay much higher commissions at that level. It can make sense sometimes. I don't ever see it making much sense to go out beyond 10 years, but commissions are paid on the front end from the carrier to the agent, the broker, not taken out of the client's account. And there's usually a duration with annuities where there is a surrender penalty if you surrender it early, and that's basically to recapture a big chunk of the commission. So your commission structure is unique to your annuity, Mr. or Ms. Listener. Like, there are so many different kinds of commission structures, but in general, it's a flat fee paid to the broker, does not come out of the client account. It's a one-time thing, and that's it. And that's frankly why you see a lot of people selling these things and moving on. They're not like long-term advisors in it with the client over the long term. That's a sweeping generalization, but you do see a lot of people popping into town, selling these things, you know, with some false pretense about a good grounded local firm, and then they're gone. I see it all the time. And then there are some people that are really using them strategically in ways that make sense. So there are some people with white hats out there, but the commission does motivate. You got to be very careful. I mean, these are robust commissions. So you're talking about, you know, anywhere from, in some cases, 7 to 10% commissions. So if somebody invests $1 million, that's a really nice commission to the broker. I would say that the better products and the better structures, they're going to pay 4-ish, maybe 5-ish%. That's kind of where I live when I use these things. So I'm making less money by using an annuity than having the assets under management, frankly, over the same 7-year period of time in that case. So ask your broker about that. You know, what are you getting paid and what are the commissions on the lower duration versus the longer duration contracts? But that's how commissions generally work. Some structures, they are swept out annually, but that's rare. Then the other thing too is taxes. All annuities are what are considered LIFO accounting. So last in, first out. So last and in is going to be interest earned. That's the first out of the contract. Any insurance product, you're going to see ordinary income on any earnings over your basis. So pretty straightforward. I know there's a whole nother conversation we could do about whole life insurance and being your own bank and tax-free withdrawals. That's not what I'm talking about. With annuities, it's going to be ordinary income on gain at the time that you take it out. And if you turn it into an income stream, the exclusion ratio could make that more attractive because it's part return of your investment, part return of gain. So the exclusion ratio for withdrawal purposes can make some sense and could be an advantage. But then we get into riders. So we've covered the structures. We've covered some of the nuances, a little bit about how commissions work, taxation, and riders. I guess each of those categories could be a show, frankly,
yeah,
Roger.
So, I think so,
but I'm trying to really add a lot of value with this one. The riders are a very popular addition. So take those base chassis, carve out the fixed annuity because you don't see riders on fixed annuities very often. But with variable and fixed indexed contracts, the pitch is usually you're going to get the performance of the investment or the return that's guaranteed here. And right now, those guarantees could be anywhere from 6 to 8%. I would like to believe that the salesperson presents this accurately. But what I see in my office is people come in saying, oh, I was told I was going to get the return of the market or 7%, whichever was greater. Well, that's not at all the way these things work. That's not the way they're designed to work. But either it's happy ears or it's manipulative sales practices. But I see all the time from my chair a lot of confusion around this. Mm-hmm. Now, what you have is a base chassis, as articulated in the earlier part of the show, one of those chassis, fixed, variable, or fixed indexed, and you bolt on this rider. They usually cost anywhere from 100 to 150 basis points, so 1 to 1.5%. Pretty heavy fee structure on something that's not designed to really perform aggressively. So there is fee drag. But what you're doing is you're buying a guarantee on a hypothetical pot of money that's growing at a stated rate. So that's the 7%. That is not a pot of money that you could walk away with. That is what your income rider is going to be based on. So they're going to say you can have lifetime income for the rest of your life based on the hypothetical or the growth at a stated rate of return on this hypothetical pot of money. And you'll have that for life no matter what happens to your principal balance. Okay, so that's the rider in a nutshell. All of these are very big nutshells, but that's generally an income rider. I can see them making sense. But what I see is they are oversold because it makes it an easier sale for the broader chassis. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like there's a, hey, you can get this great annuity, but then there's also this rider that's this guarantee, and it just gets so convoluted in the client's minds that they just say, sure, you know, this seems like a trustworthy outfit, or I know this person and I'll go with them, but they don't know what they have. They don't know the reason behind it or the placement or the reason for the placement for it in the broader portfolio. So in this debt ceiling debate season, in this season of volatility with interest rates and macro economic issues and political challenges, just know what you're looking at if you're considering buying one of these. And again, come and visit with us and we'll help you out if you just need a sanity check. But Roger looks like he has a comment question, so I'll quit prattling.
I know, because I mean, the income rider, I've seen some of them like you can get $175 a month for the rest of your life. You know, $175 isn't even going to cover your utility bill, you know, so that small amount of money coming out. And there is so much confusion around this. I encourage people to come talk to you about this because I think a lot of us got into this because we were just so mad from losing money in the late 2000s.
That was a common motivator,
it's like, this isn't going to happen to me again. This money's going to be safe. And we thought it would grow, but then you see the commissions come out or, you know, it just, I look at it sometimes and go, you know, not much growth there. Yeah, but if you die, you know.
Well, there, you know, that could be a good segue, actually, because it might come across that I'm demonizing these.
And, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm really trying to educate. And I have used them heavily for the last 5 years as a bond alternative in portfolios. In fact, and I'm in good company. Roger Ibbotson, you know, the guy that effectively invented the pie chart concept that we see everywhere, professor emeritus at Yale in economics. I mean, he made a very compelling argument for annuities making more sense in a rising interest rate environment than bonds. And so and that has proven to be right. Now it's looking forward. Do they make sense? I think that there are situations when they do make sense. You just have to know the bigger picture and you have to understand mechanically how it fits into the architecture of your portfolio. Your real rates of return, what are they likely going to be? But you can run a graph that's pretty compelling that shows a fixed indexed annuity relative to a mutual fund, relative to a variable annuity, relative to a fixed annuity with a certain cap rate and a certain participation rate, like we talked about earlier in the show. And it's compelling because you're capturing some of the upside and none of the downside.
You could run that graph. I couldn't.
I do run that graph and I show people. And for more conservative investors or for investors who just want to have a portion of the portfolio hedged, I can see this making sense. What I see too often, though, is again, the annuity is the hammer, so everything's a nail. Every financial problem is a nail. And often the conversation is led with, well, you should look at this really sexy annuity investment structure. And then whatever can't be crammed into that is taken into assets under management. You know, that is what I see a lot of, especially in this city since I've been here for the last 7 years. I've seen a lot of that type of business. So I just don't, I don't want people to think that they're good or they're bad. What I really care about is people knowing how to ask good, intelligent questions and really pressing their counsel for clarity around exactly what they're buying with their stored life energy,
right,
all working toward a very important long-term end of financial security and stability and, you know, effectively a confident, if not guaranteed, income.
Well, here, what I'm hearing from you, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, is that it is part of a puzzle, and that can,
yes,
be one piece of that puzzle, but there should not be the only piece of the puzzle.
Well, yeah, well said. But specific to the financial dimension, there are a lot of different components to that, and the best reasons for financial planning was that you could integrate tax and legal and investment structure and money management, and the client would have peace of mind. So the first gen financial planning schematics showed all the different dimensions just to the financial piece. And I would include in that original schematic investment architecture, the structure itself. And then even within that, is it private equity? Is it mutual funds? Is it ETFs? Is it an annuity? Is it on and on and on we could go. So when you are seeking counsel for what to do with your stored life energy so that it will serve you and work for you the rest of your life, just take the time to ask the good questions, get educated, trust the person, but verify, validate, refer to previous episodes for more clarity around that. But be particularly careful in this annuity paradigm. There is a lot to it, way beyond what we chatted about today. So I hope this helps.
They need to come see you and ask some good questions
well,
and get some good answers.
That would be great. Well, thank you all for listening. I hope that was of benefit, and we'll see you next week.
Listeners are encouraged to consult a professional advisor before implementing any of the strategies presented. The material in this program is for education purposes and is not intended to provide investment, tax, legal, health, or medical advice. Past performance does not guarantee future success. Information in this program is not an offer to buy or sell or a solicitation of any offer to buy or sell the investments, investment strategies, securities, or well-being services mentioned herein. All expressions of opinion reflect the judgment of the speakers as of the date of the radio show and are subject to change and are not statements of material fact. Opinions are based on knowledge and experience, but may not include all of the supporting facts to verify these opinions. The advisor may not transact business in states where it is not appropriately registered, excluded, or exempted from registration. Individualized responses to persons that involve either the affecting of transaction in securities or the rendering of personalized investment advice for compensation will not be made without registration or exemption.